We've been looking at the three essential attributes of the leader worth following, and we've looked at knowledge or competency, relevant competency. We've looked then, number two, at connection or relationship. And in this session, we're going to continue talking about connection and look at three practices for great connection within every team. So take just a moment right now to download the worksheet for this session so you can follow along. A CFO once said to the CEO, "What happens if we invest in our people and then they leave us?" The CEO thought for a moment and said, "What happens if we don't invest in our people and they stay?" Richard Branson once said, "Train people well enough so they can leave and treat them well enough so they don't want to." Great team culture is less about a list of characteristics and more about understanding your team and discerning their uniqueness and working together to achieve remarkable results. Team members bring their own ideas, experiences, education, skills, you know, all the competencies that we looked at when we talked about knowledge. They bring all of those things to the team to enable the team to work toward a common goal. And so when a new member joins the team and its culture changes. Every addition or replacement of a team member changes the team and its culture, some slightly, but others significantly. To complicate matters, it takes 1 to 3 years for a new team member to fully integrate with the team and effectively contribute to the team's shared goals. And if that's true, how can teams be effective in the interim while the team is trying to gel together, while the team is trying to assimilate the new team member? And what if team members are added frequently? How does the team continue to make progress or remain productive or produce results within a continuously evolving team culture? Why is it such a challenge to get everybody headed and leading in the same direction? Why do team members get frustrated? How do you get them excited about what you're doing? These are all great questions to consider. Years ago, when our daughter was in elementary school, I was driving her and a friend to school, and to avoid busy traffic, I turned down this narrow road between our home and her school. And as I was driving, we talked about her morning and her plans for school. And at one point, the passenger side tires left the pavement for just a few moments and spinning up gravel and grass next to the vehicle. I kind of laughed and I told Madison, "Keep your side on the road." You know, the same thing you say to your kids, right? She kind of grinned and I could tell she was deep in thought for a few minutes. And then she asked me, "Dad, why does Mom always complain about your driving?" Now, for the record, Sarah doesn't always complain about my driving. In fact, she complains less today than she used to. I responded, "It's probably because I drive fast sometimes." Madison was quiet for a minute. She said, "Dad, it's really not all about getting there fast. Sometimes it's about enjoying the trip together." What about you? Are you having fun? Is your team excited about what you're building, what you're becoming together? As we've coached teams and leaders across the country, we've learned that there are three things that every leader must understand about team culture in order to effectively lead the team. Here's what they are. The first one is understand, do you work with a team or a family? You say, well, that's an interesting thing to think about, but it really is an important question. In fact, it's one that every team member needs to be able to answer. And leaders need to understand if the people they lead function as a team or a family. Most teams struggle because they haven't answered this question, whether or not they are a team or a family. Often, teams are an intriguing mixture of both. After spending several years studying executive leadership teams and interviewing scores of executives and managers and analyzing thousands of data points and writing hundreds of pages on this topic, I found that most working groups truly believe that they're a real team, yet most of these, quote, teams struggle because their leaders and members are not functioning as a real team. You must be able to answer this one fundamental question: am I working with a team or am I working with a family? Before you accept a new job or before you take a leap with a new project, before you stick your neck out with your colleagues or your organization, or before you quit your current job, you should be able to definitively answer that question. If a leader's intention is to develop a team with a family-style organizational culture, there are going to be significant hurdles with relationships and performance. Mark Miller included a practical example when he wrote on this topic years ago. When illustrating a team, he said, if you're a manager of a baseball team and your second baseman can't catch ground balls, you replace him. However, if you've chosen to embrace a family paradigm rather than a team paradigm, you'll probably leave the underperforming second baseman on the field. In fact, he'll both stay on the team and likely stay on the field because you'll feel helpless to replace him because he's part of the family. And family often trumps team. This week, I was reminded of a conversation I had a few months ago with a leader in a large organization, and we discussed a couple of areas within his organization that were in decline. And he noted that the decline was primarily the result of underperforming leaders in these areas. He acknowledged that the decline in these areas was also adversely affecting the organization and the leadership team as a whole, and he had addressed the deficiencies with the leaders on numerous occasions. And then he said this. He said, "I can't just go in there and fire them." When I asked why he wasn't willing to hold them accountable, he thought for a moment and said, "Would you like to go with me and sit down with their families and explain why I'm firing their dad?" Immediately, I understood. This leader and his organization operate from the perspective that team members are family members. And as a result, they're more interested in supporting the family than developing a team. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. They just need to understand it. And so the team will continue to underperform its full potential and productivity. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Neither option, team or family, is inherently better or worse. That's not the point. And regardless of the discomfort that you're feeling in your current situation, it's more important to know whether you're working with a team or a family than it is to try to change the group from one to the other. Every leader and every team leans one way or the other. And if you're going to serve your team and your organization most effectively, you must know if you're part of a team or a family. Worksheet for this session, there are 10 questions to help you evaluate your team and your organization. The first part of each question is characteristic of a real team. So take a look at those questions and then determine, how does your group measure up? Do you serve with a team or do you serve with a family? Now, I want to think about something else here for a few minutes. Some might say that you can't have a real team without genuine concern for the team members. After all, doesn't every leader need to serve the team with patience and passion and care? And isn't that what we're talking about when we talk about connection and relationship? And in fact, that's true. I've observed these relational qualities in nearly every high-performing team, and it's these qualities that become catalysts for higher levels of performance. They represent authentic team community. So shouldn't family be a part of team culture? There's a distinction, and here's why. Being a family member is unconditional, but being a team member is conditional. So Mark Miller's recommendation was to treat your family like a family and treat your team like a team. So we're looking at three things that every leader must understand about team culture to effectively lead the team. The first was, understand whether you work for a team or a family. Do you work with a team or a family? The second is, how do you define success? Every organization and every team define success differently. So leaders and team members must clearly understand what success looks like for their team. Only then can team members begin working towards shared goals. And when you clearly and specifically define success, you'll get better results as a leader. So number two, make sure you and your team understand how you define success. Then number three, you must understand the team culture. What is the team culture? To lead a team to grow and improve performance, leaders must understand their team culture. What does your team do well? What do others say about your team? Does the team regularly execute successful strategies? There are a number of questions every team leader can use to identify team culture included in your worksheet. Take a few moments and review those 9 questions to evaluate your team culture. Pause the session for just a few moments until you review them. So how did you do? How well do you know your team? Do you know if you're leading a team or a family? Does the team understand what success looks like? And is everyone doing their part to achieve success? Those are the three practices of every great team. In the next session, we'll continue our discussion about connection, one of the three essential attributes of a leader worth following. And we're going to look at 4 ways to make a positive impact with people. If you haven't already, take just a moment right now to download the worksheet, review the questions that we talked about, and complete the action steps for this session. Remember, when it comes to connection and relationship, you don't have to get it perfect. You just need to take the next step. So I'll see you in the next session.